week or so ago in a message, I mentioned the book of Lamentations, how dark and how gloomy the book was. Lamentations, we know, means lamenting. It was a time of great sorrow for the nation of Israel, for Judah, for Jerusalem. And we read tonight about Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, a prophet that was preaching with a broken heart, a prophet that we know had preached with a tear in his eye, a tremble in his voice. He preached a message of trouble, of despair. He was a priest. He was a prophet commissioned by God. We know in all of his preaching and all of his prophecies, we don't think that there's one convert that Jeremiah ever saw come to the Lord or ever turn and repent to the Lord. He was rejected by his people. We know Jeremiah, he was hated. He was beaten. He was thrown in prison, put in stocks, all because of just saying what the Lord told him to say. You know, tradition tells us that Jeremiah, he was stoned by the remnant that was not carried off into captivity by the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. He was stoned by his very, very people. Jeremiah, it was a message that was unwelcome at the time. He was unwelcome to the people and to the nation of Israel. As we study the book of Jeremiah, you'll find there's two recurring words, two words that keep coming up in the book of Jeremiah. And one of those words is the word Babylon. We know Babylon is a type, a symbol of the world, of carnality, used 164 times in this book alone, the word Babylon. And then also we find the word backsliding, 13 times in the book of Jeremiah. In the rest of the Bible, it's only used 4 times, 3 times in the book of Hosea and 1 time in the book of Proverbs. But 164 times, we find the word Babylon. Babylon, a type of the world, a type of carnality that leads to backsliding. That's where Jerusalem, that's where Judah is. Let me say tonight that I believe that's where America is. You know, that may be where some of our church members are. God has blessed this people. God has prospered them. God has helped them and provided for them, watched over them, cared for them, and yet they've grown complacent. They've stopped trusting God. They stopped relying on God. Their love has grown cold. They've fallen into sin. They've began to backslide, and now they are in total rebellion toward God. And in chapter number 1, God calls a man. Calls Jeremiah. He commissions Jeremiah, a heartbroken prophet with a heartbreaking message, a message that despair is certain to come. And for 40 years, faithfully declaring that surrender to God and God's will is the only way to escape this calamity. Let me say that's still true today. There is calamity to come. We know it's appointed unto man once to die. Death, hell, the grave. But there's good news. There's a way to escape that calamity. And that's through and by Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, verse number 4, we see the commission, the call of Jeremiah. The Bible says, Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put words, my words, in thy mouth. Jeremiah, approximately between the ages of 17 to 20 years old, commissioned by the Lord. And he said, Lord, I know it's you speaking. I know it's you dealing with me. I know it's you working and moving in my life. But he said, I am but a child. I cannot speak. I like the Lord's response in verse number 7. He said, say not, I am a child. He's saying, Jeremiah, say not that I'm a child. He said, even though Jeremiah's objections were true, and yet they were irrelevant, he's saying, age is not a limit for me. I can use you no matter how young, no matter how old you are. He said, don't say I'm a child. Don't say I'm a child because of David. We heard about it this morning. Faithfully serving in his father's the shepherd's field, killing the lion, killing the bear, killing Goliath, serving the king, serving Saul faithfully. He said, don't say that I'm a child. Don't say I'm a child. Because from in the womb I filled John the Baptist. You know, you're not too young to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, don't say I'm a child. He used Timothy, a young man, a young pastor. Paul told Timothy, he said, let no one despise thy youth. Be an example to the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in faith, and in purity. He's saying, Jeremiah, don't say I'm a child. He's telling us, don't say I'm a child. He's telling us, don't say that I'm old. You know, God doesn't have an age for a limit. It doesn't limit. Age doesn't limit him. You know, I was thinking this afternoon about Brother Art. Brother Art, 80 years old. And Tuesday, he's leaving to go pastor a church in Illinois. Age is not a limit for God. He's saying, Jeremiah, you're young. No doubt you're a teenager or in your early 20s. He said, but I'm commissioning you. I'm calling you. I'm touching you. Don't say that I'm a child. The call, the commission of Jeremiah. Look at verse number 11. He said, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And he said, and I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. He showed Jeremiah a vision, a branch of an olive tree. You say, preacher, what does that mean? I'm told that this word olive tree is the word for watching. God is watching. He's watching. You say, what is he watching? He's watching, God's watching over his word to fulfill it. Just as sure as those almond trees, pastor, in that area would bud and bloom every spring, God was ready and sure to fulfill his word. You say, preacher, what is he watching? What does God see? What is God taking notice here in Judah and Jerusalem and in the nation and all the surroundings of Jeremiah's life? Verse 16 tells us. He tells us he's watching those touching all their wickedness, those who have forsaken me, those who have burned incense unto other gods, those who worship the works of their own hands. Jeremiah is being called. He's being commissioned by God. And in verse 17, the Bible says, thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise, and in speaking to them all that I command thee, be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. God is commissioning Jeremiah to go preach a message, a heartbreaking message, a message of despair. And he said, Jeremiah, I'm calling you. I'm commissioning you. Don't worry. Don't be afraid of what your circumstances are. May be found. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 33. He's commissioned Jeremiah. But now Jeremiah finds himself in some horrible, horrible circumstances. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 1. The Lord speaking to Jeremiah again. He said, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. We find Jeremiah, because of his faithfulness, because of his willing to go and do what the Lord called him to do, finds himself in prison. Zedekiah, the king, A king that Jeremiah, that placed Jeremiah in prison, not for a crime, not for breaking the law or criminal trespasses, but for saying that the city of Jerusalem will be given to the king of Babylon. It was a message from the Lord. A message from God, and Jeremiah's thrown into prison. Now, King Zedekiah didn't like this message. He didn't like what he had told the people. A message that was a message of defeat. A message of surrender. A message of destruction. Hey, King. Hey, Jerusalem. The Chaldeans are coming. The Babylon's coming. The enemy's coming. And the city is going to be overtaken. And Jeremiah, he finds himself in chapter 33 in prison. As we read, we find all those other prophets. They told the same king that everything would be okay. They told the king that a city would not fall, that their endeavors would not be successful, that everything would be fine. And these prophets found themselves promoted, and they found themselves paraded as true prophets. But here, the man of God, because of his faithful service, because of his faithful call that the Lord led him into, finds himself in prison. Obedient, faithful, doing his best to serve God, and finds himself in prison. You know, I believe these circumstances, you'll agree, they should have been different for Jeremiah. They should have had a different outcome. As he preached and as he proclaimed this message, you would hope the people would say, yes, Jeremiah, we hear God's word, we hear God's preaching, and we repent, we hear and we want to turn back to God, we'll pray, we'll seek his face, we'll repent. But yet Jeremiah's down in the mire, in the dungeon, in the prison. You know, I think of some of you tonight, the circumstances that you're in. Faithful to serve God, yet you find yourself sick in body. Faithful to do as God bids you to do and go as God tells you to go, but yet you find the hardships, the circumstances of life. Obedient to the master, like Jeremiah, in prison, following this one we call the Prince of Peace, but yet in prison in despair. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:12 that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Job says a man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. We all have trouble. We all face those hardships and the circumstances and the challenges of life that we cannot control. But like Jeremiah, he was never wavered. He never backed down. He never retreated. Jeremiah had something inside of him that was greater than prison captivity, was greater than those heartbreaking circumstances, that was greater than life's challenges. The book of Jeremiah 29 says, "But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones." He had something inside of him. You know, we too, like Jeremiah, have something inside of us. I hope we've hid the word of God in our heart. But we have something so much greater. We have the God himself, the sweet Holy Ghost, the indwelling, the living Spirit of God inside of us. And like Jeremiah, we too must not waver. We must not retreat in our circumstances. We must be found standing by the rivers of water, the water's edge, as Psalms 1 tells us. That bringeth forth our fruit in the season, our leaf shall not wither. He finds himself being obedient and faithful to God's call, but yet this leads him to terrible, terrible circumstances. The circumstances he finds himself in prison, yet he's sheltered in the safe in the arms of God. You know, it was said this morning, it's better to be in the will of God in prison than to be out of the will of God, being comfortable in some palace. And Jeremiah finds himself in these horrible circumstances. But notice the comfort he finds in verse number 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time. What a blessing that is. God's not obligated. God is not does not have to speak to us. But I'm thankful he desires to speak. He desires to convict. He desires to speak to his children. Bible says it is the Lord is his name. It is the Lord, the maker thereof. The Lord that formed it. This one that's going to give Jeremiah comfort. He is the very maker. He's the very former of heaven and earth. This one that's going to give Jeremiah comfort is the very maker and the former of Jerusalem and Zion. This one that's going to give Jeremiah comfort is the very maker and the former of this church, of this body of Christ. God established it, and Jeremiah finds comfort knowing that it is the Lord. We ought to find comfort tonight knowing that it is the Lord of all comfort, the Lord of all glory. It's him that speaks to peace. It's him that gives comfort and joy in the troubling circumstances of life. Only in and only by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can we find comfort. You want comfort tonight? It's found in Jesus Christ. There's no worldly possession. There's no carnal possession that could have ever delivered Jeremiah from this prison. Finances, lands and homes, good friends and good family, they could not help Jeremiah in this situation. But in his bondage, in this prison, in this captivity, in this heartache, he found comfort in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we can rest assured tonight that the Lord of all glory has our best interest. The place that may have you confounded, you can find comfort knowing that it is the Lord that's there. The people that may constrain you, you can find comfort tonight knowing that the Lord is there. Let me say tonight, the direction our country's going in may confuse us, but we can find comfort that we have a Lord that's still on the throne. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:3, speaking this God of all comfort, he said, who comfort us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble. I wonder tonight, are you a comfort to those that are in trouble? Are you a comfort in his words, a comfort in deeds, and a comfort in action? I was thinking this afternoon about that young family, young mom and young dad that had just started a family, and all was going well, but the mom died unexpectedly, suddenly. The day of her burial, the little girl comes to the dad and says, Dad, will you sleep in my bed tonight? She said, I know it's going to be dark and I can't see you, but it gives me comfort to know you're there. Hey, church, he's always present. He's always with us. He's living inside of us. The Lord is his name. The Lord. We find Jeremiah's call. We see Jeremiah's circumstances. We find Jeremiah's comfort. He said, the Lord is his name. Bible tells us our Redeemer is strong. In the book of Psalms, the Lord is his name. That should bring us comfort tonight. But notice this command in verse number 3. He says, call unto me. This is Lord speaking to Jeremiah. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee. I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He tells Jeremiah, he says, call unto me. It's the word to call out loudly. It means to cry for help. He's saying proclaim is the word. Jeremiah, in these circumstances, in prison, in a dungeon, in the mire, you're starving to death. We're told he's only given one piece of bread daily. He said the city and the land is going to be desolate. What are you going to do, Jeremiah? Call unto me. Call unto the Lord. You know, tonight, you may have lost loved ones. It seems hopeless. What are you going to do? Call unto him. Going through hardships like Jeremiah, what are you going to do? Call unto him. You have a great desire. What are you going to do? Call unto him. My desire for this church is that the Lord would fill this church with little ones and middle-aged ones and elder people alike that want to worship and pray and serve and praise and reach the lost. That we would be a congregation that looks and focuses on Jesus Christ only and him alone. How's that going to come? We need to call unto him. You have a determination that seems dwindled? Call unto him. Do you feel like you're in a rut, that your love has grown cold? What are you going to do? Call unto him. Cry out. Call his name. A difficult situation, a difficult sin that seems like it so easily besets you. What are you going to do? Call unto him. Disturbances in your life, problems in your family, things don't seem like they're coming together. What are you going to do, preacher? We're going to call unto the Lord. The Lord is his name. God invites Jeremiah. God is inviting us tonight to call upon him in faith. Even here is judgment, pastors, at the door. Jeremiah's in prison. The Chaldeans, the Babylonians, modern-day Iraq is coming. They've surrounded the city. They're going to be carried off into captivity. Judgment's at the door. And he's telling Jeremiah, just call unto me. How many would agree that judgment is not only at the door, but I believe it's here in America? It looks sad. It's hopeless, church. What are we going to do? Call unto the Lord. How could the Lord have answered Jeremiah if Jeremiah never asked? How could the Lord answer Jeremiah if Jeremiah never initiated the conversation? Jeremiah, he's prayed. But he's asking Jeremiah to pray again. Jeremiah's asked. But Jeremiah must be constant in his supplication. Wrote down in my notes just a moment ago, Psalms 2:8. The Lord tells the psalmist, says, ask of me and I shall give. In our text, it doesn't teach what some charismatic sect believes and teach, this name it, claim it mentality. You know, I was thinking about the Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian that ever walked in shoe leather, had a terrible circumstance. He had a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him that he besought the Lord thrice to remove. He called him to the Lord. You know what the Lord told him? He said, Paul, I'm not going to remove it from you. He said, but my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Call upon him. I believe when he answers, when he answers those prayers, we'll be amazed. Look at verse number 3. Call unto me, I will answer thee, I will shew you great mighty things which thou knowest not. That's my prayer tonight. Lord, show us some great things. Show us some mighty works. Lord's blessed this church these past years with our pastor. He's performed miracle after miracle after miracle. Saves many in the congregation. He's helped and he's healed and he's blessed us beyond measure. Those are some mighty works. But I believe the best is yet to come. I'm asking the Lord to show us some mighty great works. Great things means large. Great in magnitude. The idea is distinguished things. Things we can't understand. Things we can't describe. All we can say it is of the Lord. It had to be him. The Lord is his name. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. We find Jeremiah, his commission. He's called to go and to speak. And that's what God's asking us to do tonight. We heard it this morning. To go out to the highways and the hedges and to compel them to come in. That's what he's commissioned us to do, just to do what he tells us to do. That's what his commission was. We find his circumstances. He was faithful, but he finds himself in some horrible, horrible circumstances. But although his circumstances was dark and very dire, he found comfort knowing that the Lord is his name. I wonder tonight, what's he calling you for? Calling you for salvation? Calling you for that greater burden, as we heard this morning, to go out and spread the good news that Jesus Christ saves? What circumstances are you in? Troubling, perplexing circumstances. Family, marriage, whatever they may be. Do you need comfort tonight? The Lord is his name. I'm glad I have a Lord that can hear and answer prayers. He's not deaf. His arm's not short and that he cannot touch. He's a powerful God. He's a wonderful God. I love my Lord. The Lord is his name. Let's stand tonight. Father, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your mercy and for your grace. And we thank you for the word of God and, Father, for the promises it beholds. Lord, I pray that you take these few words and use it for your glory. Maybe there's one in here here tonight, Father, that's going through some circumstances that are dire, that, like Jeremiah, don't know and can't find a way out. I'm glad we can call upon your name. I'm glad you're still on the throne. I'm glad, Father, your ear is turned and bent toward your people. Help us, Lord. God, I pray tonight, Father, that you'd be glorified in everything that's done. I pray, Father, for any in among us that's lost, that's undone, that may not know the free pardon of sin. Lord, as you call, they'd ask you to save them. We need your help, Lord. Our country's in terrible shape. Lord, we're calling upon your name to help us. Help us to be a light in a dark world. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And only if you'd help me out on the piano. Maybe you want to come to this altar. I don't know your need tonight. The Lord does. We can call out to him.